This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And I will say that to him. I just can't put Drake. Drake is a pop musician. He's not a rapper.
To clean up the Raider 49er discussion on Antonio Brown, this is what the Raiders, in all of their dealings with Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper, and now the acquisition of Antonio Brown, this is everything that has culminated, what they've given up and what they got back. Are you ready?
So you're bottom lining it for us, right?
Bottom lining it.
All right.
The Raiders have given up Khalil Mack, Amari Cooper, 2019 third and fifth round picks, 2020 second and sixth round picks. In return for one, two, three, four, five, in return for those six things, two players, they've gotten Antonio Brown, two 2019 first rounders, a 2020 first rounder, a 2020 second rounder, and a 2020 fifth rounder.
That sounds a lot better. It makes me feel the tiniest bit better about the Khalil Mack trade.
It does, doesn't it?
The tiniest bit.
Yeah.
I still don't get it. But when you bottom line it like that, if you truly are a team that's looking to quote-unquote rebuild without telling your fan base you're rebuilding, decent job. And you can even, as an addendum, you can throw in, gave up Kelechi Osemele.
Yeah.
And a six and got a fifth.
Yeah. Does this guarantee that they now draft Josh Allen, the edge rusher from Kentucky, I believe is where he's from?
Because Bosa's off the board.
Because Bosa will be off the board, in theory.
Yeah.
And the Raiders have the fourth pick. Mm. And if Allen is available, they're looking for an edge rusher because, one, you know, you don't get those guys every day, like John Gruden said. But two, you spent money
on the guy who traded Khalil Mack.
I don't think you can spend money on a quarterback, an edge rusher, and a wide receiver. You can spend money on two of those three. They spent money on two of those. So the third one's got to be a young production guy.
Right.
So at the four spot, they get their edge rusher.
Immediate impact draft.
Exactly.
Okay.
Now you've impacted the defense with a cheap guy. You've impacted the offense with an expensive guy, and you've got your quarterback of the future. You start to see what they're doing. When I go across the bay, I can't see what they're doing.
Right.
That's my only argument.
I want you to do one thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
Give me that bottom line again. And Raiders fans, I want you to pay particular attention here, because after Jim tells you what you have given up and what you have gotten, the question is, does this make you feel better about any of the moves they've been making?
You gave up Khalil Mack, highest paid defensive player in the game, to the Chicago Bears. You gave up Amari Cooper, who went to the playoffs with the Cowboys. You also gave up this year's third and fifth round picks. You also gave up next year's second and sixth round picks. In return, the Raiders get Antonio Brown, arguably the best wide receiver in the game. First round pick, two first round picks this year, one first round pick next year, an extra second round pick next year, and an extra fifth round pick next year.
Now, Raiders fans, now that you've heard that bottom line, does that make you feel any better about the Khalil Mack trade, about the Amari Cooper trade, and or both?
So you gave up six things, you got six things. The six things you got, best wide receiver in the game, three first-round picks, a second-round pick, and a fifth-round pick. That's what you just did.
And that does make me feel a little bit, emphasis little bit, better about the Khalil Mack trade. I feel great about the Amari Cooper trade.
Yeah.
I think Amari Cooper is incredibly overrated. AB is not.
No, you got a better guy. You got a better player. You swapped out players. You got a better guy. And you got a number one.
Right. That's why that trade's a win already.
A slam dunk.
Yep.
So.
And I'm not hating on Cooper. He's a very good NFL wide receiver. I just don't think he's got the dog in him that it takes to be a number one.
And my angle to this is, in 1 year, I see what the Raiders are doing. I was in fog for a long time. Now I see what they're doing.
Right.
I've had going on 3 years, one and a half if you take my earlier example. But going into their third year, I don't know what the heck's going on with the
okay, but what's that expression? 49ers. Discretion is the better part of valor?
Yeah, I never understood what that meant.
It just means don't be all boisterous, you know, in case things go wrong. Keep things close to your vest, basically. Mm-hmm. I really think that is something the Niners pay attention to. I don't think they want to be a team that you know exactly what they're doing and why.
They don't get caught up in all that stuff.
Because if the fans know what you're doing and why, then the other teams certainly know, and they might be able to take advantage of your relative inexperience, John Lynch.
Interesting. And Shanahan. While Shanahan has grown up in the system and has been through a number of great programs, and his father was fabulous, when you're in the big chair, it's a lot different than being in the room. In the room is great knowledge. In the chair, big difference. Ask any bench coach who became a manager. Ask any lead assistant coach in the NBA who got the head coaching job. That move 24 inches over is real different.
Yeah, agreed.
So I'll sneak in a quick call on this, and we want to shift over to baseball because I'm really intrigued by what Major League Baseball and the Atlantic League are doing. You, though, are probably going to you're going to morph it into something because they're making changes at a particular time in a league. We're going to get to that. Give me Alameda Apple. You're going to be the one. You get the say on what we were just talking about. Apple, what do you got?
Before you go, Apple, before you start, I have to ask you a question. Are your parents celebrities? Meaning, are they musicians or are they Hollywood people? Because those are the only people that name their kid Apple.
Big fans of the product.
No, Apple is just my initials is AP.
So okay, gotcha. All right.
Just to be fancy.
Do you have a Samsung?
That's really funny, though. So how I feel about the two trades, all the trades and how you bottom lined it, I think it's a great move for Oakland. Reason being, although I was a big fan of both of them, Amari Cooper had his rough patches, especially with us, and Khalil Mack is great, but he wasn't cheap anymore. So at some point, you basically have to draw the hard line and say, do we just want to be a fringe playoff team, or do we actually want to have the ability to win a Super Bowl and really kind of take that chance and rebuild so we have a Super Bowl caliber team? And we were just never get to that point with the players that we had and the amount of cap space that that was being taken up. So I think it really was the only option, especially since Gruden is going to have 10 years with us. It just made sense. But another thing that I actually wanted to talk about was there was a lot of talk with Derek Carr. And my stance with Derek Carr is if you look at all the quarterbacks that are out there, I'd say Derek Carr is better than like at least half of them. And if you consider everything, the only way I get off of Carr, especially with all the free agents that are in the market today, is if we get Kyler Murray, which I don't think is going to happen, but I would love to get Kyler Murray. If we could get Kyler Murray, I'm off the car train. We're off to the races. I'm really high on Kyler Murray.
That's interesting. All right. Thanks, Apple.
Great call.
That is interesting. He's you know, on Carr, if you look at the AFC West, rank the quarterbacks. Who do you put number one?
Pat Mahomes.
You do? See, that's interesting. He's had 1 year of a starter.
Stop it, Jim, please.
You can't tell me
Don't
Rivers.
Tell me you're
Rivers
not putting
Rivers is a
him.
Hall of Fame quarterback.
Who would you rather have right now?
Are you saying for starting today and then...
You asked me to rank the AFC West
if
quarterbacks
it's just
right
one
now.
Season, if it's just one season.
No, if we're ranking them right now, yeah. Then it has to be this version of Mahomes, this version of Carr, this version
right.
of Philip Rivers.
If I... Boy, that's a tough one.
And if you're not picking Mahomes, you're high.
I love
Go Chargers, go.
What is your address there?
I love Philip Rivers. I got to tell you, I love Philip Rivers.
I don't not love Philip Rivers, but I love Patrick Mahomes more.
Okay, one season of Mahomes in a tricked up offense when others didn't know what he could do, and you're taking him over a guy with a body of work that is better than Dan Marino's.
What makes it a tricked up offense? The fact that they lit up the scoreboard?
Well, that doesn't make it a tricked up offense. Make it better for the offense. Nobody knew what Mahomes could do. Maybe they snuck up on some people. How did it work in the playoffs?
Mahomes did not sneak up on anybody. He dominated everybody.
He's great. Hey, I love him.
I appreciate your appreciation for Philip Rivers. In fact, I think there's too few like you, Coase. I don't think Rivers gets the credit he deserves.
Totally agreed.
When I hear knowledgeable football people talk about Philip Rivers, they talk about him like, yeah, he's going to go in the Hall of Fame. And I had never thought of that before, but when you hear guys like, look, say what you want about Michael Irvin, who appears with Damon Bruce every week. I respect his football knowledge. I mean, I think he's a bit of a joker, but he does know his football. And so when he tells me, Philip Rivers, Hall of Fame quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, this is not a fluke. This is really who he is. But if we're ranking him right now, you have to put Mahomes number one.
Okay, let's do that. So to get back to the rest of the division, though, who's your second guy? If Mahomes is first, who's your second?
Rivers.
And so Carr's no better than the third best quarterback in your division.
Correct.
Because whatever the Denver Broncos are throwing at you, it's not better than Carr.
Right. And anybody who has sucky as a regular part of their vocabulary, I just can't get behind them as a leader of men. I'm sorry.
Really?
Maybe that's shallow of me.
It is.
But
too much testosterone in your system.
My line, when they first hired John Gruden, it was shortly after I'd gone on a couple rants against Derek Carr for using the word sucky. I said, you know what's going to happen? When Chucky meets Sucky,
ooh,
it's going to be bad for Ball.
You think so?
It hasn't been great for Ball. I told you this off the air, right? I think we were off the air. I would love to hear what Gruden really thinks about Derek Carr.
All right, we'll put him in the
sodium.
We'll
what
serum.
Is it? Sodium
pentothal.
Pentothal.
Yes, pentothal.
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 You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco. It's a radio.com sports station. Urban and Cozumore on a Sunday with
Stop
you.
Stop making fun of my lisp.
What is that?
I don't know.
Where are you coming from? We're 3 hours
We're
into
in our last hour,
excursion.
And I'm thinking, seriously, Coase, you know what's going to happen in exactly 12 hours from now?
Yes, I do.
What?
Your phone's going to go off.
Exactly.
And you're waking up.
Oh, God.
Think of this. Not a lot of traffic.
And you know what? It's not going to be
you can park
your,
anywhere.
It's not going to be your daughter on clarinet that wakes me up. But I do know how to program my alarm to do something other than its presets. So the song that wakes me up is called Ode to Sleep.
Ukulele, by the way, or ukulele, what she plays.
So she must be a 21 Pilots fan.
I should play some of their music for
Tyler
her.
Tyler Joseph is big on ukulele.
Really?
Yeah. They have no guitar in their music. They have bass and they have ukulele.
Get out of here.
Absolutely true.
Super crazy.
Speaking of music, should I deliver on that tease that I gave about all those musical artists?
Yes.
You want to do that now?
You want to restart it?
Because it could be either that or it could be an extra good for ball, bad for ball. Gabe, I want you to make the call on this. I have got the tour to end all tours, but it's super old school bands. Should we save that for good for ball, bad for ball? Because it's pretty lighthearted. Yeah, let's stay with the heavy sports for now. The Atlantic League.
Okay, let's do it.
You want to jump into that?
Yeah, I do want to get into that because baseball, I'm loving spring training. I've caught myself flipping over to the MLB Network and watching some spring action.
Have you seen Tyler Beattie?
I've not seen Tyler Beattie. Give me your insights.
He is one of those guys, a first rounder, former first rounder.
Yes.
Who it looked like he wasn't going to pan out. He had kind of fallen behind Derek Rodriguez, Suarez, a number of guys.
John
right?
Barr pick, by the way, with the Giants, right? It was a John Barr
yeah.
pick.
He has been, and I believe it was Bochy who used this word, a revelation. No, it was Farhan. Revelation. Beattie has been. He's back to throwing mid-90s. He had mysteriously lost some velocity. And what made him a first-round pick wasn't just mid-90s. It was just a filthy snapper. That disappeared, too, along with his confidence. Somehow, Kurt Young has got his confidence back. He's got the fastball back in mid-90s, and he's throwing a wicked hook again.
All righty.
He's got a leg up, I think, on getting one of those back end spots in the rotation.
So we have a chance to see him at third and King in 2019.
I think we do.
At the start of the season.
Yes.
That would be...
He's been great so far.
You want to know something? That would be amazing for a Giants organization who is getting crushed for having nothing in the system.
For not developing their picks,
not developing their picks. The pipeline is dry. We've got to wait how many years for Elliot? How do you say his name? Elliot Ramos? Elliot? Elio? Elliot Ramos?
I don't know.
Elio Ramos?
Elio?
Elio?
Is the T silent?
I don't know.
Is the H silent?
And I don't want to offend anybody or any cultures. I don't want to appropriate your culture.
Then just
say
do it,
phonetically. Heliot Ramos.
Helio.
The end result is they're not getting guys coming through in time to keep the engine charged.
Right. And the biggest, the most touted prospect of the past 5 years, fair to say it was Christian Arroyo?
Yes.
And he didn't work out so well.
Where is he with the Texas Ranger? Is he still with the Texas
Ranger?
No
clue. I'm sure he's in big league camp with him.
But he has not been the... That's why
he hasn't been moved again.
When you were young and you were a player, you pitched at the Division I level, so mm-hmm. you were a good player. Would you often search out the lists of like top 100 prospects and all that stuff when you were young? I love doing that stuff. I would read my team's top 10 prospects, then I would look at, you know, Baseball America's top 100 and mm-hmm. count how many of my guys were in it and see who they were, and then I would always see how they, you know. Did it eventually work out for them?
Yeah, I remember when I was a junior and a senior at USF looking for that information, just wondering, you know, among my peers who's considered great, are any of these players on a team that we might play? Am I going to get to compete against one of these top prospects? And then once I became a baseball writer, you have to start paying attention to that.
Sure, but that's in your professional life.
Yeah.
But as a kid, like, I always thought it was fun.
Yeah, I didn't do it as a kid. I just did it, like I said, late in my college career. To kind of see where I stacked up against. Like, had there been somebody, a pitcher from Loyola on that list, I would have either looked at it and said, okay, that's why I'm not getting drafted because this dude has things that you can't teach and I don't. Or it would be, wow, that guy's overrated. We lit him up. How is he a top 100 guy?
When you were wearing the green and gold for the Dons, what were you known for? You bring the heat?
I was available every single day.
Really? So you were...
I was rubber arm guy.
Really?
Yeah. But that, I mean, that probably cost me draft status because 6'7" left-hander, most people will draft that on sight.
Just, yeah, they don't even have to see you throw the ball.
Right. But Billy Beane wrote in his foreword to my book, Michael might be the only 6'7" lefty in major college history to go undrafted. And it's because when I was 16...
Thank you, Billy.
I was throwing 89. When I was 20, I was throwing 83. Because I threw every day. And then I'd go home and play strikeout with a tennis ball against the garage door. Yeah. I just took horrible care of my arm. I'm not crying saying I would have been this. I would have been. I'm where I'm supposed to be right now, right?
Yeah.
I think there's a plan for everyone.
Yeah.
This is my plan. I'm not bitter about it by any stretch of the imagination. But my senior year, I broke the school record for appearances because I could go every single day.
That's amazing.
I wasn't going to blow anyone away, though. I threw about 68% changeups.
You're like those kids in Texas high school baseball where they pitch both ends of the doubleheader today and then tomorrow start the third game of the series.
No, here's what I did in American Legion. I started and threw a complete game Friday and then threw relief in the first game Saturday and then started the second game Saturday.
Wow.
Two starts in the three-game series.
How's the skipper of that team?
He was a football coach, believe it or not. Of course you believe that, because all of my baseball coaches growing up were football coaches. Mm-hmm. And so they're like, well, Mike throws hard. He wants the ball. Let him pitch.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just doing one. Yeah, exactly. That makes sense. Well, then you're going to be interesting to talk to about this, the marriage between the Atlantic League and Major League Baseball, because they announced several rules changes. This is last Friday. Before the 2019 minor league season. It's an independent league, the Atlantic League. So independent teams, and you got to clarify, some people might not get the difference. So there could be an A league. The South Atlantic League is the ones I'm used to.
Sally, yeah.
Yeah, the Sally League with the Sumter Braves and teams like that. But an independent league, what affiliation do they have with major league teams? None.
None.
None. They're just signing guys who can play baseball.
Right. And just in this, let's see, the Atlantic League, the league that we're talking about now, it says, okay, Major League Baseball can obviously dip into the independent leagues whenever they want, right? To go sign somebody. And last year alone, 32 Atlantic League players later signed on with Major League franchises to get back into quote-unquote affiliated baseball.
So if I were to ask you as a baseball fan and a baseball lifer, because that's a part of your DNA.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
If I were to ask you, what changes would you make in Major League Baseball or baseball if, in fact, you felt the game needed any changes? Do you have anything that sticks out to you?
None.
Really? So you would not mess with the game at all?
I like it where it is.
You don't think...
I don't think...
Pitching changes? You don't think...
I don't think... I don't like the way they do replay. I don't like the challenges. I think, it, you know... But I don't have a great fix for that either, which is why I don't say I would change it. Because I don't... If you're going to point out a problem... To my way of thinking, you damn well better have a solution.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even ready to concede that length of games is a problem. If you like baseball, you will enjoy a 325 game as much as you'll enjoy a 210 game.
If you were to ask me that same question, I would go, first, you would take 1 minute off of commercial breaks of every inning. So that's a lot of time right there.
They are doing that in the Atlantic League.
Okay. Secondarily, I would say, if you change pitchers, they come out and pitch. They don't get 8 pitches to get used to the mound. They're big boys. You've been warming up forever in a bullpen.
Yeah, I got to defend pitchers.
You come
in.
One. You're coming into relief. All right, come on in. You face the next batter. Let's go.
Do you know why I'm against that? Because
because you're not a forward-thinking sports person like I am?
Yeah, that's probably it. Probably because you are just better than me,
yeah,
Jim.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was
getting
at.
You're a better human being
than
me.
There you go. Now we're starting to get to the later groundwork.
Now we're getting to it. Here's the deal. If you're warming up in Oakland... Wait, is it Oakland? Did they change it? Anyway, take that example out of it. There are a lot of bullpens in Major League Baseball to where when you're standing on the mound and looking in a certain direction at home plate, right? When you get out on the field, it's the opposite. You're pitching towards, like you might be pitching towards due north in the bullpen, and you get out to the real mound and it's positioned to where you're throwing due south.
So like if you're in Seattle, I think the bullpen in Seattle is beyond the outfield wall.
It's perpendicular, right?
Yeah, it goes.
Left to right or right to left?
Yeah, like it starts in the left field corner and pitches to center field, or center field and pitches to the left
field
corner.
Right, whereas the mound is obviously center field to home plate.
So now, that's what you're trying to say.
There's, okay. I didn't buy it until I had to face it. At Stanford, they had a makeshift mound one of our trips down there. Normally, they have them facing in the same direction, but we were down there, and so I had to pitch with my back to home plate of the actual diamond. So we had to assign somebody to come out and protect me in case there was a foul ball. So I'm basically pitching towards the outfield wall in the bullpen. I get on the diamond, it's sunken diamond, and I'm pitching in the opposite direction. And it was a little bit unsettling. I mean, I figured it out after a few pitches. One of them ended up going over the scoreboard, but I figured it out eventually. And I could see why that's the only thing I would ever change. But
let me just say then.
Let's run down these list of changes.
Tell you what, we're going to do that. Let's step aside. We're going to go down the list of changes. But those are the two things I would do. Minute away from every inning, commercial time. Relief pitchers, you're coming in to pitch. You're not coming in to dick around for, you know, two, three minutes. The end. All right, so let's get into that. Urban and Cozumel, we're going to go over some of these changes. And if there's some things that you want to see as a baseball fan, or you like the game the way it is, 888-957-9570. Hit us up in the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795. Urban and Cozumel, 95.7. Plug in.
Cozumel, I don't know what you smoked.
Now, back to Urban and Cozumel.
We're down to about 42 minutes left in this fun fest, Urban and Cozumel. I'm going home making tri-tip tonight.
I'm having the best time. I'm going home and going to sleep.
I'm having tri-tip, and I've given up alcohol for Lent.
Oh, wow. Good for you.
I know. Now, have you heard about this?
How long has it been? Since Wednesday?
So it started Wednesday.
Okay.
So
how are you feeling?
Have you? Unbelievable.
Right?
Sleep
you,
better.
You were never a big drinker
early.
To begin with.
I got some problems.
Do you?
Yeah. And so I gave it up. But have you heard this Sunday theory?
I have not.
So Lent is 40 days. Jesus out in the desert 40 days. But if you count the calendar, Ash Wednesday to Easter Sunday, it's 44 days.
Okay.
Because each Sunday is considered its own Easter Sunday. And so there are those, I'm Catholic, who are in the Catholic faith, who say that on Sundays you can break you break your Lenten promise because it's a Sunday, it's an Easter Sunday.
Because on the seventh day God rested?
I don't know what the reason is, but I'm told that if you've given up ice cream, mm-hmm. on Sunday, you can eat ice cream.
Nah, that's bogus. I don't buy that.
I'm telling you, I've heard this from my California Catholic friends, okay? And they're always looking for a loophole in something.
Any Nebraskan Catholics out there who can be the tiebreakers
but
for
if
us?
If you've heard of this theory, 95795 on the text line, just let me know. Because I'm
no, you can't.
Tonight,
that's
can
just
I go
giving
home?
It up once every, I mean, 6 out of 7 days.
Can I have a glass of wine with my tri-tip tonight and not break my Lenten promise?
No.
Father Urban has spoken.
You know there's a Pope Urban. You know that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I do that. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I do know that.
That's related.
Oh, God. You from on high.
Not related.
I watched Passion of the Christ last night. You ever seen that movie?
Is that the one with Jim?
Caviezel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that how you say his name?
Yeah.
It's that easy.
Yeah.
I've been butchering it forever.
It looks tougher than it is. Jim Caviezel, you know what? That is a hard movie to watch.
No doubt.
That is a physically demanding movie to watch.
You will have a visceral reaction.
Yes, you will.
No question about it.
I did not know.
Any opportunity I get to use the word visceral, I do, because I just learned what it meant.
Glad we could. But if you can help me out on the Sunday cheat day, as we'll shorten it to, because I'm...
The text line says only malt liquor on Sunday. Now, would that be St. Ides or Ole?
St. Ides, because it's a
Saint. Football Mike right now is just pumping his fist.
Really?
I love herbs.
95795. Help me out on my conundrum on whether or not I can cocktail tonight. All right, we're going over the baseball changes. Are you ready?
Yep.
This is the Major League Baseball Atlantic League coming together, and they're going to do this in midseason.
See, here's what I'm not, because what we have been given... Is it all of these rules at midseason or just the last one, the mound being moved back 2 feet?
Okay, maybe that's a better way to, you're right. That's the big one that goes in the second half of the season. It was my understanding that a lot of this was going to happen in the second half. But again, it's the last one, which is the big one.
Yeah.
To me, that's the big one.
Yeah, me too.
Let's start with one that's still relatively big, though. How do you feel about robots calling balls and strikes?
I don't like it at all.
No?
No. I don't. I don't even like the box that they put up that they superimpose on the screen.
That's
games.
Silly.
I hate it.
That's silly. But Eric Burns is all behind a robot umpire.
I know. Well, good for Burns. But I happen to be look, and I know the strike zone is supposed to be uniform, but reporters are all supposed to be objective too, and it just doesn't happen. I kind of like that Greg Maddux had a scouting report on all of the umpires, and he knew if I've got this guy. I've got a couple itches off the plate. If I've got this guy, I have to work a little bit higher in the zone. I think there's a place in the game for that.
I agree with you. That argument, I buy better than your other argument of throwing north-south versus east-west.
Yeah, that's flimsy, no doubt. I'll concede
but
that.
This one is a pretty good argument
mm-hmm.
where you do, as a batter, have your own research on every umpire.
Right.
And they're telling me that with a computer umpire, which they're going to use this year,
It's called TrackMan.
Every individual player will have a TrackMan analysis, right? And they will have...
Letters to the knees?
Whatever they choose it to be.
Well, that's what it's supposed to be.
And that's what they're going to use.
Just below the letters to just below the knees. When's the last time you saw an umpire hold firm to that standard? How many letters high fastballs do you see called strikes?
Back in the day when American League umpires, and I wish they went back to this, were the outside the uniform chest protector. Remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
When they get down and they have that big chest protector.
When I was a kid, I had to wear that thing.
Dude, I love that umpire. Every time they have a turn back the clock game, all the umpires should be using that outside the chest protector shield.
I do like that. Little League catchers who were behind the dish when I was umpiring their games, they hated it because they have this little handle inside.
Yes, they do.
Right? That you slip your hand in. And for whatever reason, I was clumsy with it. And so like every 18 seconds, the catcher would get bumped in the back of the head with my chest protector. And it's not like it hurt or anything, but it's got to be annoying to get knocked in the head by the ump.
Do your job. So one, computer-assisted strike zone. Two, no mound visits by players other than pitching changes or injury.
I hate that one.
So the shortstop going in to say something to the pitcher. You can't do it without that?
When I was at USF, my third baseman my junior year, I had been playing ball with him since Little League. He knew me better than I knew myself. I didn't want the catcher coming out to calm me down. I didn't want the manager coming to calm me down. The third baseman took a few steps over towards the mound. I took a few steps towards him. He told me to get my ass together, pull my head out of my A, and I did. So maybe it's just because of my personal situation, the reason I don't like that. I do think I think there's a time.
He can't do that from shortstop? He can't do that from second base?
Well, he can't
say,
dude.
Herbsy!
Remember, we want you to bust this guy in. No, you can't yell that from second base.
You're supposed to know that. But I'm assuming that also means the catcher can't come out.
It doesn't specify. But
I would assume. Right?
Yeah.
Players?
By players. Yeah, catcher's a player.
Okay, number three. Pitchers face a minimum of three batters or the end of an inning.
That's significant. Or end the inning. Mm-hmm. So you can bring him in. There is a scenario in which a reliever faces one batter.
Right.
Still.
Right.
I'm more okay with that if it was not or end of inning. If it was just you got to face three guys, then I would be dead set against it.
Okay.
I still don't know that even with or end of the inning, I don't know. How do you feel about that? It takes away some strategy.
It does. It does. Asks guys to perform, which I think is something that's good.
The phone lines are lighting up on this.
Yeah, I know. I like it. That's an interesting one because I kind of wish it was three batters because if I got two guys out in this inning, I'd have to come out and start the next inning
because
you got to face three batters.
Right.
Next, number four, increase the bases by 3 inches. Now, let me just say, I've heard some people say their interpretation was make it 90 feet, 3 inches. No. The bases are 15 by 15. Is that right?
Yes.
And they would become 18 by 18.
Right. So you would actually be saving 3 inches rather than adding 3 inches to the base pass, right? Each base path is now going to be 3 inches shorter. Follow?
No. Why? I don't get that.
Because
it's 18 inches. They're making the bases bigger.
Right. Okay. You take first base and it extends from the line towards second base 15 inches.
Right.
Now it extends 18 inches. You're saving 3 inches. And you're saving 3 inches at second base, too, because it's now 3 inches closer.
You mean on the leadoff?
The width.
Okay,
the
I'm sorry. I thought you meant if I bunted a ball and I'm running up the baseline. I thought you meant that. That doesn't affect that at all.
No, but it does
affect 3 inches going the other way.
Yes.
Okay, now we're talking. That is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't even thought about that.
So,
I just thought you're not going to get a situation where, who's the guy you signed with the Padres?
Derek Barton?
Yes, Derek Barton just signed with the Padres.
Manny Machado.
Machado spikes the first baseman. You will not have that scenario happen.
That's the
only thing I thought. I think now that becomes secondary.
That's the main reason they did it, I think, that the players have more room. Like, okay, now the first baseman has a little bit better shot of avoiding the spikes to the Achilles.
Two infielders must be on each side of second base when a pitch is thrown.
Okay, I understand the spirit of it, but here's how you get around it. So what they're trying to do is, what are they trying to do with this, Jim?
They are trying to stop the shift, Michael.
Right, okay. All right, so you're going to stop me from shifting by saying two infielders on each side of second base? All right, so when normally I would put my shortstop just barely on the other side of second base for a left-handed hitter, now I just put him right there on that 18-inch bag, and you have a third baseman playing where the shortstop was. Nothing really changes. You're forcing the shortstop to move maybe 2 feet to his right. I don't think it makes that big of a difference.
How many balls you miss? 2 feet? It opens 2 feet.
I don't think it makes it. You're still going to see shifts.
Here's one. Bunt. This frustrates the heck out of me.
They had four outfielders in a Grapefruit League, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Grapefruit League.
Florida.
Four outfielders every time Bryce Harper stood in the batter's box. In a Grapefruit League game, Jim, let the kid swing the bat. Come on. Four outfielders? This is not beer league softball. You're bastardizing the game.
Why? What do you mean? They're just trying to get an edge. Their data research has showed them that that's the best way to
handle it. I understand, and that's why I don't have a really good argument, because the numbers back it up.
Hey. Here's where they're working in my wheelhouse. Number six, time between innings will be cut from 2 minutes and 5 seconds to a minute 45.
So that's 20 seconds times nine.
Actually, times 18, because it's every half inning, right?
Ooh,
think about that.
Okay.
You know, well, again, getting back to
20 seconds times 18, you're saving, 6 minutes. Wow. That's definitely going to bring more kids to the ballpark.
No,
those 6 minutes you're saving.
But it is going to tighten up the quote unquote action. Baseball has been described as 6 minutes of action jammed into 3 hours of time. So,
how about just? I know you don't like the reliever coming in and getting warm up pitches.
Oh, I hate that.
Okay, let's you and I make a deal here.
Yep.
Okay, we're going to keep that. They don't have to go cold to the mound. But they only get three tosses, and pitchers only get three to warm up for every individual inning.
I'll try that.
Worth a shot.
Yep.
Let's do it in the last eighth of the schedule.
I'll try that. Not a problem. And then we're going to finish with this one.
Oh, my God.
The mound is going to be moved back by 2 feet in the second half of the season. Not
unbelievable.
60 feet 6 inches, 62 feet 6 inches.
Unbelievable.
Why?
Well, I want somebody to figure out the math on a 91 mile an hour fastball at 62.6 versus 60 feet, 6 inches, and tell me how much that increases the reaction time a hitter has. I mean, that is change number 7 is bigger than change number 1 through 6 combined for me. I mean, 62 feet instead of 60? You're just going to move the mound back 2 feet? You think that's not going to incredibly reduce the effectiveness of pitchers? Yes, it is.
I think it's going to take your, and this is an independent league, it's going to take your 89 to 91 mile per hour guy, which is going to be that level,
yeah,
high level.
Right.
It's going to make them 85 to 87 mile hour
exactly.
guys.
Exactly.
Right?
2 feet, man. You're adding a lot there.
And then you know what you're doing? What? You're adding time to games. Guy's going to be spanking that thing all over.
See?
Well, don't you give them credit for trying something?
Yeah, I do.
I'm totally on board.
I give them
as many weird things as possible.
I give them credit for trying everything except moving the mound.
Real quick off the text line, and then we're tons of calls. 95795 shouting "Leave baseball alone!" Shakes fist at cloud from Stephen and Vallejo. On my, can you get a Sunday cheat day? Are you ready? It's not a California Catholic thing. Heard the same thing growing up in Boston. 1, 2 from the 650. Yes, your cheat day is Sunday. Boom. 925. There are no cheat days during Lent.
510. Lent mirrors Jesus' 40 days of fasting in the desert. No, you cannot break fast on Sundays unless Lent is BS to you. Then do whatever you want.
Well, let me tell you this.
It's from an Orthodox Christian.
Let me tell you this, 510. 40 days in the desert, but Ash Wednesday to Easter Sunday is 44 days. Each Sunday is an Easter Sunday. Each Sunday, four of them, and Easter Sunday, that gets me back to my 40 days of Jesus in the desert.
I think you're just trying to put booze ahead of your religion.
The Sunday exemption is BS. I gave up alcohol and bread. It's not a diet program. Giving things
you're
up
confused.
Is not a diet program.
You are allowed to participate in, you can go up and receive communion, right?
Yes.
And you can take that sip of red wine.
You can.
Right?
I did this morning.
Even if you've given up alcohol, you're not breaking the fast there.
No.
But if you go, if you're drinking a big old bottle of, you know, Merlot while you're cooking your tri-tip tonight.
Coach V says, I'm sorry to break it to you. That theory is absolute bogus.
Funny text from the 650. Machado will just extend his spikes by 3 inches.
I agree. I agree with that. as a matter of fact. Let's get some phone calls. Are you ready?
Yep.
Richmond. Cass, how you doing? Welcome in. 95.7 The Game. Urban and Cozumel.
Doing great. Thanks, guys.
Sure.
So first of all, I just want to say I love the idea of no warm-up pitches on the field. Let's go. Let's pitch. Come on.
Agreed. Thank all you, right. Cass.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Jim, drink away, please. Second is my idea. No timeouts for the batters. I don't understand why batters get to step out of the box, adjust their gloves, adjust their cleats.
They're not allowed to step out.
Get in the box. What? No stepping out.
They're not allowed to step out. That is a rule. They can't step out.
The umpire will always grant it.
Well, they can put one foot out. They can't walk entirely out of the batter's box.
I would have the pitcher can throw the pitch at any time, and if you're not ready for it, that's a strike.
So you're in favor of quick pitching?
Just as soon as you want to pitch, yeah. Absolutely. If it has to be called a quick pitch, I'll take it. But I hate watching the Nomar Garciaparras of the world. I know he's long retired, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know.
Go out there. 10-second routine. No.
All right.
Let's go.
I'm down with it. Are you down with that?
Cass is adamant. I like the force with which he came.
I agree. Lunatic Fringe is always strong. From Lafitte or Lafayette.
LF, what's going on, man?
Afternoon, boys. How you doing?
Doing well. How about you?
Look, the two changes I'd make would be the batter can't step out of the box. You know who started that was Dave Justice. I used to listen to Hank Greenwald all the time, and the only one time I ever heard Hank Greenwald get annoyed is when David Justice was at bat. He's stepping out of the box again. He'd get furious. I mean,
it wasn't Dave Justice. You know, well before Dave Justice, there was a man whose nickname was the human rain delay. That would be Mike Hargrove, who went on to be a major league manager. He used to step out of the box and make Nomar Garciaparra look like a speed reading equivalent of that. I mean, Hargrove took a million years in between pitches.
Yeah. And the other one is the infielders can play anywhere they want, but they can't play in the outfield. I don't like four outfielders. You're an infielder, you stay there. You're an outfielder, you stay there. You can do any kind of shift you want, but you can't put four outfielders there or five infielders there. I don't agree with that at all.
But the majority of the shifts that you see now, like if there's a lefty, you move the second baseman into, what do we call that, buck short?
Yeah, I just used to call it short center, short right field, and then the shortstop comes over.
I don't think you can. Look, you're going to either allow shifts or you're not going to allow it. You can't say, well, you can shift the infield but not the outfield. You got to go, you know, it's all or nothing.
All righty. Steven and Vallejo, let's bring it. We got a lot of people jumping on this baseball business here. And you know what? One thing, I'm going to get to the one about the younger demographic in a second. Steven, what do you got on the baseball?
Gentlemen, real quick, if you would indulge me, there's been a lot to get to today. Been loving the show. Like you mentioned when you read my text, leave baseball alone. The game's not broken. Where it's broken is at the youth level. They need to start taking care of the kids and teaching them how to play the game the right way. Keep score for all these millennial parents that don't want kids to have a winner or a loser. As far as Lent goes, I'm a retired Catholic. It's about sacrifice. You got to sacrifice all the way through. The reason why Sundays aren't counted is because according to, you know, the 7 days of rest or seventh day you rested, you pull that out of the equation. You have to sacrifice all the way through.
All righty. So is it the seventh day, like you were saying? Seventh day business?
All I know is I'm just hearing, Coz, either go hard or go home. You cannot have wine with your tri-tip tonight. Now, if you're cooking skirt steak, I might allow it because, you know.
Hey, you're related to a former pope.
And a former president.
That's pretty solid, man.
My mom's maiden name, Adams. True story, I am related to that Adams.
Seriously?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
But not Pope Urban.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Does that get you anything?
That and 275 gets me a venti dark roast at Starbucks.
Hey, how about this from the 510? Catholics cheat every day, twice on Sundays. Boom. You know.
You were just dying for a glass of wine tonight.
We asked for forgiveness.
209 says, Herbs, these baseball rules are ruining the game more so.
This
if baseball thinks these rule changes are going to get to a younger demographic to watch the game, they are wrong! All caps. It will hurt the game by pushing away the people who love baseball the way it is. By the way, I'm 24 years old. Yank in Tracy.
Okay, here's my
deal. Is that who you are or what you do?
Let me tell you this about the younger demographic. I don't think these attempts at testing the game is what I think we should call them, attempts at testing the game, are specific to just bring the younger demographic back. They're trying to improve upon the game. The NBA product used to be a product where you ran up and down the court, 94 feet by 50, and you shot a basket and you got 2 points. You made a free throw, you got 1 point. And at one time, you got three chances to make two and two to make one in certain circumstances. But they changed the game, including making a three-point line. Well, that's a revolutionary change that was done in another league.
Right.
They were able to steal that idea and improve their game. Baseball is finally trying to improve the product. They've got to test it out somehow and some way. And whether these rules are the rules that are changed or these rules start the conversation to a change, I'm all for it. That's how we should be looking at it,
yeah,
and not just the younger demographic piece.
Because if there's one criticism of Major League Baseball that's been consistent over the years is their inability to adapt. They are slower to change than any of their other major sport brethren. And so at least they're giving it, I mean, it's more than lip service. They're going to take a crack at it. But the fact that, like, that they're doing the mound thing in the second half of the season, I don't understand why you don't do it at the start of the season. And it's because they want to have a half a year data to, you know, they want to be able to compare the two halves.
So there's a reason. Not just laziness.
I just don't buy the reason. I don't buy the reasoning behind the reason. Why not do it first? You'll still have another half to compare it to.
Right.
If you're going to go back.
I agree.
But how the hell do you move a mound?
I agree.
You don't move the mound, right? You're just going to move the rubber further back on the mound?
It depends on, you're going to have to build the mound up then.
Because I've been on some mounds where the pitching slab, in fact, aforementioned Loyola Marymount, their mound, I used to hate their mound because I have big feet. And if I was just putting my toes at the edge of the rubber closest to home plate, on their mound, my big ass feet were hanging off the back of the mound when I took my step back. There was so little space between the back of the rubber and to where it started to downslope.
Yeah.
I was stepping down and back instead of just back.
No, you're going this way.
Yeah.
And then you turn into it that way. So you're saying your rock step back.
Yeah, my rock step back would be like
way
different than on other mounds.
From the 510, Manny Machado doesn't observe Lent on Sundays. Mike and Dale, that to me made me, that I snickered at that one.
And this is good too. 707, screw the kids.
Exactly, I agree. I agree. Everyone wants to cater to them.
Final call of the day.
Yeah, because we got to get good for ball, bad for ball.
We sure do.
Mike and Daly City, you get the final word.
Hi, guys. I agree with some of what you're saying and disagree with others. First, on the base expansion, I think if you look at the base, if you take the two sides that are facing away from the base paths, like the right field side of first base and the foul territory side of first base,
right,
that's where you expand it 3 inches, and it doesn't shorten the distance. Same thing at second. The angle that points to right field, the angle that points to left field would be where you add 3 inches.
Yeah.
No distance would be affected between bases.
Okay.
Second, on the three batters per pitcher, you could have a pitcher, you know, blowing a big lead in, say, the seventh or eighth inning, and they bring in a pitcher with nobody out in the top of the eighth, and the other manager can just stick up three hitters that are righty against a left-handed reliever, and he's got to pitch to all of them. I just think that's crazy.
Yeah, that's one of the rule suggestions that I'm not really into at all. Thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. 510, by the way.
Yeah.
One last gave me a chuckle text. A home run should be two runs. I think they're coming down your road about the three-pointer. Striking someone out on three pitches is two outs. Actually, they said, just kidding. Don't change baseball. I actually, as a pitcher, I like the idea of striking someone out on three pitches should be two outs.
You do?
I like that.
You do? What is the immaculate inning? Did you ever have an immaculate inning?
Nine pitches?
Yeah.
No, but I had a three-pitch inning, which I thought was better.
That's a record that a record held by many.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah. That's why I never understood, like, the perfect inning is three strikeouts on three pitches. No, it's not. It's throwing three pitches and getting three outs.
You know what? That's interesting. If you're the third batter in that setup,
take a pitch. Have to.
So what'd you serve up? Like, do you remember? Did he swing at a bad ball?
All three of them were split finger changeups. All three of them were ground balls to second baseman Kevin Jordan. went on to play Major League Baseball with the Phillies. He was the second baseman, and he had the assist on all three of them.
Really? Mm-hmm. Also a record tied by many.
Yes.
Are we ready to play?
We are.
Let's do it.
What's the favorite game of everybody who listens to 95.7 The Game on weekends?
It's time for Good for Ball.
Oh, that was outstanding.
Or Bad for Ball.
That is a disgusting act.
Here's Michael Urban.
All right, and we do mean everything in life can be labeled one of two ways. It doesn't have to be sports related. It can be anything, good for ball or bad for ball. You hang out with me over the course of a day, I'm going to say it either rhetorically or to you or to somebody else. That was good for ball or bad for ball. Just to make sure you guys know how to play, I myself and my co-host will present to you a good for ball or bad for ball from our daily lives up to this point today.
Cool.
Here is my good for ball, and actually it's yesterday. My oldest daughter, who is 15 and a half, I have her to myself this weekend because my other daughter and mom are in Clovis for a swim meet. Not only did my daughter want to come to work with me.
Oh, nice.
She got her permit, and she wanted to be challenged by driving from Livermore to San Francisco in the rain.
That's actually challenging.
Right? And she did a hell of a job. She was very patient sitting here in the studio while I did my thing. And on the way home, in her own way, she said something to the effect of, "I really like the way you do your job, Dad." And it just, I mean, I'm getting goosebumps and starting to tear up just thinking about it. It's so minor.
That's good for ball. No, it's not minor.
Yeah.
That's not minor.
Just, I don't get enough time with them. And so any moment I have with them is incredible for ball. How about you? Do you have a bad for ball from your day?
No.
Well, didn't bad for ball come when you were told you can't get boozy when you're cooking your dry dip tonight?
I'm telling you. Here, this is from the 510. My mother-in-law was a catechism teacher for 40-plus years. She also said Sundays are okay to have your, quote, given-up items during Lent. Boom. Catechism teacher.
She was a booze hound.
Coach V tells me it's bogus, but he's also a badminton teacher, and I'm a... probably the foremost badminton announcer in North America.
You really are. My brother's impressed with your Olympic work on badminton.
Thank you.
You know who else? When I think Olympics, I think Gabe Osler. I do.
When I think of Gabe Osler,
he's the only person I know who has done what my youngest daughter is doing, which is swimming at an elite level. Gabe swam for Notre Dame.
Yeah, I know.
The guy knows, like, I dropped... oh, my daughter's in Clovis, and he has the knowing nod of his head. Yeah, it's a big meet. That's Fresno. That's like, you hear about Fresno being the armpit of California.
That's crappy.
Clovis is the armpit of Fresno, apparently.
No, Clovis got some nice areas.
All right. Gabe,
I'm a Clovis guy.
I know you've been working hard on your good for ball, bad for balls. What do you got for us, brother?
Well, while we're on the topic of rule changes, because that's where we've been down the road a little bit there, I thought I might want to throw a hockey hypothetical at you guys.
Okay.
Because I don't know if... Coz has gotten off DeBoer watch yet, but
that was so subtle that nobody knows
that
what
was,
he just
that
said.
Was. That
I
was actually
outstanding.
Got it.
It's currently very evident that our San Jose Sharks will be playing some postseason hockey. Some are dissatisfied with the NHL playoff format, though, and want to adopt the style currently employed by the Southern Professional Hockey League. Similar kind of situation, minor league experimenting. They have a system where you get to pick your playoff opponent. That's right. 8 teams.
What?
Top seed picks a team 5 through 8.
Oh, wow.
Then the second seed gets to pick. Then the third seed gets to pick. And then the two remaining teams are paired up.
I hate it, but I love it.
I kind of agree with your answer.
I think that's ultimately good for ball.
I originally hated the concept. Once it was explained, kind of dug it.
I mean, think of all the snarkiness that could result.
Yes.
Right? I mean, it's like...
that's
okay,
instant resentment maybe being built between the two teams.
What does a coach really want to avoid heading into the playoffs? Don't give him any bulletin board material. Mm-hmm. Well, by picking that team, you just gave him all the bulletin board material in the world.
Exactly.
I love that, man. That's good for ball.
Although I will say, and I will go down swinging on this, the best playoffs in all professional sports in North America is hockey.
That's right.
Agreed.
Because it's divisional. They hate one another. They go at it. And once the divisions are done, then the two that come out of their divisions are going at it, and the winner goes to the Stanley Cup final.
Hey, Coz, at least give our man Joe a heads up for... he just dropped a Donskoy for you, man.
Donskoy!
Dude, I had
David Joel, Bruce is listening going, that's my dog score.
I know. I had Joel Quenneville coaching the Sharks by what, game 15 this year?
You were blowing the horn so early.
Can I blow you both away with my hockey knowledge?
Sure.
Brent Burns just eclipsed the 60 helper mark on the season. Uh-huh.
He's also got 60 helpers
he
already?
He also just passed Stan Mikita on the all-time points list for the National Hockey League.
Pour a little out for my man Stosh, all right? My man just passed away. Good old number 21. Nope. I was a big Stan Mikita guy.
So Brent Burns.
Stan Mikita's donuts, speaking of an all Mike Myers show.
Are you done?
Stan Mikita's donuts is funny.
Mike Myers was in Bohemian Rhapsody, too, by the way.
Which is a funny, and you know his funny line. Don't spoil it, though, because people might not have seen it. He actually pays homage to who.
If they haven't seen it yet, they're probably not going to see it.
You don't think so?
Yeah.
You get it on Xfinity, on demand.
That's true. So I rented it twice and then bought it. How dumb am I?
That's pretty dumb. How much money do you have rolling around?
Not much. Hey, when I used to work for CSN, that was awesome because I got every single cable channel you could possibly get for free.
Like the pay ones, too.
Yeah, Playboy. Yeah.
All of them. Like, right? There's no need to leave
Playboy,
the house.
Playboy Latin America? Oh, my God.
Unbelievable.
If that was around when I was 12, that would have ushered me into manhood.
I love it.
That's what we're talking about.
All right, Gabe.
All right, well, sticking with the rule changes.
Well, there should be some.
Were you guys not impressed with my Brent Burns knowledge?
It was awesome. There should be a beat played beneath this. So you come up with some music, but go ahead,
Kool-Aid Gabe. And frozen pizza is supposed to be here.
All right. So rule changes, still, it's a theme. Officials, referees, whatever you want to call them. We got the robotic aspect being brought into the Atlantic League. But the National Football League refs have gotten a lot of stick, especially in the playoffs. Jay Glazer, you familiar?
I am.
He's got an idea.
Blowhard.
He has an idea to replace all the refs with Navy SEALs. That is absolutely, I'm not kidding at all. Glazer sincerely called for an officiating crew made of combat veterans with special ops backgrounds.
Why?
Here is his reasoning.
Okay.
Think about it. They'll be in the shape to be in better position. They can literally react faster than the rest of the world, even when bullets are flying. They can react quicker than anyone else when something happens on the field. Also, coaches will be a little less inclined to rip them out onto the sidelines. It's harder to go yell at a Navy SEAL if coaches are upset about a call.
When you think of the world's badasses, you think Navy SEALs, right?
Uh-huh.
Why on earth would one of the world's badasses want to go get booed every single Sunday for screwing up a call when he's in better shape than the guy who just committed the infraction?
You know, I just want to go ahead and make it fit into the confines of what we're doing here. So Glazer's Delta forceful refereeing idea, is it good for ball or bad for ball?
I'm going to go bad for ball, Jim.
That's incredibly bad for ball. And I love I love our troops, special forces. Love them.
Right.
I just think
they're the ultimate badasses.
Yeah, they are. I got bigger problems to figure out.
If I'm going to turn to the Navy SEALs to solve a problem, it's not going to be an NFL problem.
Yeah, I'm getting angry, though, right now.
It's going to be a Taliban problem.
Because there's someone who's telling me Stan Mikita was not number 21, and I will come out to the 925, and I will take you down.
By the way, the catechism teacher was not a booze hound 5'10 once.
Exactly. Thank you for correcting the record. Can you give me a beat on this, for crying out loud? What is Spadoni doing over here?
I don't know. He's looking for more hair metal bands.
Does nothing in this place work? Thank you.
Nice. Slayer broke up, Spadoni. Get over it. All right, next.
All right. Noted blues musician James Dolan also owns the NBA's New York Knicks, and most people are not all that pleased about the second fact. One fan expressed his displeasure to Dolan, saying, "Sell the team." That's all he said, "sell the team," as Dolan walked up the tunnel. And I'll let you hear how the rest of that went.
Anything I should sell the team? You want to not come to any more games?
Why?
Yeah, that's rude.
It's an opinion.
Yeah, no, it's not an opinion. And you know what? Enjoy watching them on TV.
You know what that sounds like? That sounds like a ban from Madison Square Garden.
That's outstanding.
And that's exactly what it was. He banned that guy from Madison.
So
opposite sides.
Is that policy hit right there, is that good for ball or bad for ball?
That's so bad for ball.
That is outstanding.
Everything about that dude is bad for ball.
Let me tell you. And I get it. There's some anger about what's going on with the Knicks.
You can't take someone yelling. Seriously, he said, sell the team. He didn't say, your mother's an F or anything of that ilk. It was, sell the team. No profanity, just sell the team, and you're going to ban him from watching the Knicks in person?
I just think what he did is good for ball.
Why?
Well, I didn't say I would ban him. I'm telling you, James Dolan walking out, having a fan yell, sell the team. He turns around and engages with the guy, and he says, hey, enjoy watching him on TV. I just think that's good for ball.
It's a funny line. My question is, how do you enforce that ban? Impossible, right?
I don't know.
You shave your beard, grow your hair longer. What are they going to do? Fingerprint everybody who comes in? And if it's this guy, you can't come in?
Maybe, yeah, if you want to go that deep on the identity thing. But witnesses apparently saw security personnel going and getting this guy's personal information.
Gotcha. So. We've run out of time, and I got it.
We did?
I finally have to deliver on this tease. Remember all that musical acts that I threw at you?
Yeah.
MC Hammer and Vogue, Sir Mix-a-Lot, Cisco, Dougie Fresh, Biz Markie, Tone Loc, Young MC, Montel Jordan, Tag Team, Rob Bass, DJ Cool, Coolio, The Funky Bunch Without Marky Mark, Two Live Crew, and Kid and Play. They're all going to be on a rotating tour this summer. Buy your tickets now. Good for ball.
Urban and Cozumel, Warriors basketball next. Drop the mic, we out.
Big Cass Brown from now on.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.